What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Tune in to Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD, and join the conversation about how to heal our broken system, to reverse our current health crisis. The entire world is looking for answers, and the truth is hidden in plain sight. Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask the questions that matter most to you.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me today on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Mylène. We'll be going on an eye-opening, mind-expanding adventure into wellness and disease prevention today. We're live August 6th, 2019. So please join me today. Give me a call at area code 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. We're live right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, and we are live every first and third Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Today we're talking about heart disease, $500 billion a year, and no solutions. We'll talk about why that is and what you can do to protect yourself and your family today. So heart disease is the number one killer of Americans, both male and female. It's rampant throughout the world. We experience over 600,000 deaths per year from heart disease here in the United States. So that equates to one out of every four deaths being caused by heart disease. So this is obviously an extremely important topic, again, as they all seem to be. The reason I want to talk about this today is I decided to talk about heart disease just a couple days ago, and as I was just doing my last-minute research this morning, I came upon a study that was literally just released this morning. It's by the University of University of Melbourne, in Australia. And it was in a magazine called Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News. And what they're showing is that the gains that we used to make in preventing deaths from heart disease have pretty much gone away. What that means is more and more people are dying from heart disease instead of less and less people. Despite spending $500 billion a year here in the United States, we continue to see the same death tolls, and they're actually rising. What's important about this is that the reduction of death from heart disease has been what has allowed an increased life expectancy here in the United States and throughout the world. So the fact that we're actually dying more of heart disease does not bode well for life expectancy. And again, we've already seen that our life expectancy has dropped for the last 2 out of 3 years, according to the Centers for Disease Control, or the CDC. So this isn't some pie in the sky, might happen later kind of thing. This is a happening now kind of thing. And what used to boggle my mind so much is, why aren't we doing anything? Like, why does no one particularly care about these statistics? Wherever we look, they get worse and worse. So what's going on? And for those of you who listened to my podcast 2 weeks ago about depression, that immediately came to mind, the lack of motivation. You know, what's going on? Do we just not have the motivation to care enough to do something about what's killing people left, right, front, and center? We seem to, again, pay a lot of lip service to the problem but not actually do anything as a medical industry as well as a society. So today I wanted to kind of really dive deep into why that is, what's going on, and what we can really do to start preventing heart disease and getting our life expectancy, you know, back on track. And not only life expectancy, but quality of life, obviously. It's not worth living longer if you can't live well. So these are both things we'll have to address, and I think I have some ideas that I can share with you today that we won't find in mainstream medicine, unfortunately, because they're stuck on diet and exercise, which sounds good on the surface, but there's a reason people eat poorly and don't exercise, and diet and exercise by themselves are not causes of anything. They are also results of something. So, again, this is what I call iceberg syndrome. We're not looking deeply enough at this problem, which is why we keep failing to resolve it. So what is heart disease? Like, what does this mean? So heart disease is essentially poor circulation in the cardiovascular system. So the cardiovascular system involves the blood vessels as well as the heart. So the heart is fed by blood vessels, and it also pumps blood through blood vessels. So it's an interdependent system. If the blood vessels that are supposed to feed the heart are narrowing and being obstructed by plaques, the heart can't be fed, and so the heart can't continue to pump blood out. So we can see heart attacks occur from this if the immediate blood supply to the heart is cut off. So there are what we call coronary arteries that feed the heart. If those are blocked by plaque, and plaque is typically caused by fat buildup and blood cells and debris that are not flowing smoothly through the blood vessels because of some damage to the walls. We believe the damage to the walls can be caused by things such as diabetes, with blood sugar causing damage to the walls and causing things to become very sticky, so to speak, and that begins to build plaque and obstructions to blood flow. High blood pressure is also thought to damage the lining of the walls of the blood vessels, especially what we call labile blood pressure, which is blood pressure that's, you know, extremely high 1 minute and then normal. So the change from normal to extremely high and back is actually more dangerous, we believe, than a blood pressure that's just consistently high because of the change in pressure that occurs. So labile blood pressure is particularly dangerous. These things kind of make the blood vessels sticky and damage them, and then the blood cells and all of the other critically important things that are flowing through the bloodstream kind of stick to the walls, and they make the walls of the blood vessels narrower and narrower. So it's kind of like, rivers dumping into an ocean. You know, if there is debris in the water, you're going to get obstructions in the flow of the water through. So it's no different in the body, except in the body, unfortunately, what happens is the heart cells, the heart tissue, the muscles die. The heart is not a very plastic organ in the sense of being able to repair itself. Those cells are built for life. They're not built to be constantly replaced, such as the cells in our gastrointestinal system, for example. So the cells in our gastrointestinal system are constantly being replaced. So when they get kind of old, they're not working well, they get immediately replaced. The heart is not that way. The heart is kind of built for life, so to speak. The cells that are in there when you're born are pretty much the cells you're stuck with for the rest of your life. And so if they don't get proper blood supply, if the flow is obstructed, they can't just be replaced. Now, the heart does have some plasticity in it in the sense that alternate blood flow can develop, but it's usually not fast enough if it's a major artery. So if it's a major artery that supplies a significant portion of the heart, it's extremely difficult to grow accessory blood vessels to compensate for that blood flow. And what happens is people eventually end up succumbing to a heart attack. And because the heart is so critically important for immediate life, if you're not continuing to pump blood through the body, clearly, you're going to die. So we cannot live without the heartbeat. And the lack of blood flow to the heart will stop or interrupt the heart from beating, which can then result in death. So the heart is something we have to tenaciously protect, and the body does have built-in mechanisms to tenaciously protect the heart that we always talk about on our show. The body is usually quite self-correcting, and what it will do is sacrifice other parts of itself in order to preserve the heart. And when it runs out of other things to sacrifice, it can't quite keep up, and that's when heart disease and heart attacks tend to happen. So that's essentially what cardiovascular disease is. It is the number one killer of Americans. One out of every four deaths is due to a heart attack, and greater than 50% of these deaths occur in males. For women, though, we're not necessarily out of the woods. So when we tend to have heart attacks, they tend to be deadlier than when men have heart attacks. So while we don't necessarily have heart attacks as often, ours tend to be deadlier as women. And there's a reason for that we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So we have pumped $500 billion into prevention of death from heart disease. Haven't pumped nearly as much into the prevention of the heart disease itself. But we have, clot-busting drugs that we use. We have life-saving surgical procedures that we do. Our emergency rooms are flooded with people with chest pain, and we do cardiac catheterizations for them. We do stents. We do all kinds of invasive procedures to prevent death. That seems to not be working anymore. We have seen a trend of increased death from heart disease over the past seven years, as was released just this morning by the University of Melbourne. What they noted is they're linking it to the increase of obesity throughout the world. And while that sounds logical on the surface, it's not a sufficient enough reason, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But what they noted is that in Italy and France, where there are low obesity rates, there's also less death from heart disease. So they made that connection. It must be due to obesity. And because we think heart attacks are due to high cholesterol and lack of physical activity, it's not a stretch to say that heart disease is due to obesity, and it is. But what we have to do next is say, well, what is obesity due to? Because to tell someone just to go out and lose weight and to eat differently obviously doesn't work. We see rampant obesity in this country, and it's only getting worse. So this idea that we tell people, you know, you're too overweight, please go home and lose some weight, go do more exercise, and eat right. It just simply doesn't work. So there has to be a reason for it not working. We have to assume that people are not trying to make themselves sick. We have to assume that people would rather be healthy. They would rather have the energy to take care of their business from day to day and to live healthy, robust lives. So this idea that people are just simply lazy and this is why they're not exercising and this is why they're not eating right is flawed. There has to be a reason for it. We can't just assume that people are just that lazy and that uncaring about themselves. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the underlying cause of obesity? And it's not necessarily, in my opinion, simply the lack of physical activity, simply the lack of good diet. There has to be something that is spurring that on. What is causing people not to be physically active and not to eat right? And so scientists have attempted to find out this reason. So they've tried to link depression to obesity. So maybe one is causing the other. Are people that are overweight because they're depressed, or do they become depressed because they're overweight? And so this brings us to a chicken and egg game. And we've never been able to answer that question in all of antiquity, which came first, the chicken or the egg, because it's not a linear solution. It's a cyclic solution. So it really kind of doesn't matter which came first. They cycle into each other. So in our Western society, again, we have a very linear way of thinking. We think one thing causes another thing, which causes another thing. In Eastern philosophies and other ancient philosophies, they believe everything is a cycle. So it's kind of like a circle. It's not really a line, but it's a circle. So it doesn't matter if the chicken came first or the egg came first. The point is, we need to break the cycle. So when we try and figure out, are people overweight because they're depressed, or are people depressed because they're overweight? We never get anywhere. So there were some genetic studies done, and what they concluded was, oh, the psychological stress of being overweight is what causes depression. And I would argue that that's not really the case. I would argue that depression and obesity have the same common causes. And we can see that if we look at it from a traditional Chinese medicine perspective or a TCM perspective. So if we look at the patterns of disharmony for heart disease and we look at the patterns of disharmony for depression, we see some common patterns in Chinese medicine. So that leads us to understand that it's not that depression causes obesity, which causes a heart attack, or that obesity causes depression, which causes a heart attack. It's that they all share common causes. And we can see those common causes in TCM. So one of the main causes of heart attacks or heart disease in TCM is something called stagnation of qi in the chest. And if we look at cause of depression, we also see stagnation of the heart and lung qi as a cause of depression. We also see what's called liver qi stagnation. And then we see things like qi stagnation with phlegm. Turbid phlegm stagnating the chest is also a cause of heart disease. And so when we look at these patterns, we see that they share common causes. It's not that one leads to the other. It's that they're both being led by other causes. And that often leads us to delay in treating people successfully and preventing diseases because we tend to think things are linear. You know, one thing has to cause another thing, which has to cause another thing. What we need to do is start thinking that maybe these two things are being caused by things that are deeper. We have to get to the deepest root cause in order to really be effective. And so when we look at the causes of depression and heart disease according to traditional Chinese medicine, oftentimes they're emotional. Things like worry and grief and sadness affect the chest according to Chinese medicine. They'll affect the chest more than they'll affect the abdomen, for example. And so if we continue to have these emotional imbalances in our lives for too long, they will cause stagnation of flow of energy through that system of the body. And again, we're really beginning to understand very, very clearly that the body is not a physical structure. It's an energetic structure. And if we begin to see things from an energy perspective, we can kind of open up the doors to understand things a little bit better. So the body is not a physical structure. It just appears to be a physical structure. It appears to be a physical structure because that's what our eyes tell us when we look at it. You know, that's what our hands tell us when we touch it. And so we believe that it's a physical structure, but when we really go down and look on an atomic scale, what we see is it's not physical at all. It's mostly space. In fact, it's 99% space. And of what's physical, 99% of that is water. And so there's very little physical, truly physical structure to the human body. What makes us think it's solid is limitation of our own senses. And also the forces that are at work at the atomic level. So on an atomic level, when you try and touch something, there's kind of a magnetic repulsion or an electromagnetic repulsion that occurs so that you can't put your hand through something. So you can't put your hand through a wall because the wall and the hand will repel each other. So you're never actually touching the wall. On an atomic scale, you can't touch the wall because the repulsive forces will stop you. But we think we're touching the wall. Again, because our senses are limited, we have this sensation that I just touched something because I can feel this sensation against my skin telling me I just touched something. Well, that's just your brain telling you you touched something, but really, in fact, you didn't touch it. It's just the repulsive force. So when we look at the body as an energy field, which is, in fact, what it is, we can begin to see how energy flows. There aren't really distinct organs in the body when we look at it from an energy perspective. So things can flow from one system to another system, and they're very interdependent when we look at them from an energy perspective. When we look at things anatomically, we tend to be more deductive. We tend to see things as isolated systems. So we tend to look at the heart as an isolated system, but it's not. It sits in a chest. And in that chest, there's energy flowing from other systems to and from. The heart also manages a lot of emotion. You know, the Institute of Heart Math is showing us this, and ancient traditions have told us this for millennia. The heart is the seat of emotion, and the heart also houses the mind, according to traditional Chinese medicine. And so when you have quote-unquote negative emotions, not that they're negative per se. Some of them, you know, are logical in the moment, but when we hold on to them for too long and our energy gets stuck by them, this begins to obstruct the flow of our energy. And then if our energy is obstructed, the blood flow will become obstructed secondarily. And so this is why these patterns of qi stagnation in Chinese medicine are so critical for us to understand. And their causes are so critical for us to understand. So it's not necessarily lack of appropriate diet and lack of physical activity. Those are being caused by emotional imbalances and energy imbalances in the body that result from those emotional imbalances. So when we really want to prevent heart disease, what we have to do is look at emotions. and how we're processing our emotions and how we're dealing with our emotions. Those are critical. Not that we want to blunt our emotions, but we want to properly process them. So we don't want to stuff them or not experience them if they need to be experienced in the moment. So something happens that makes you sad, such as, you know, the unfortunate tragedies of just this past weekend. It's important to feel the sadness and the grief. You may feel anger, and that's all extremely important to feel. But then we have to ask ourselves, you know, what can I do to process this more efficiently so it doesn't impact me, so it doesn't stick to me? You know, the key is to really allow these emotions to go through us and not get stuck in us. When they get stuck in us, they create energy imbalances, which can then create energy stagnation, which can then stagnate our blood flow. And because the chest is energetically where we have the most impact from sadness, grief, and worry, the chest is what will be negatively impacted if we hold on to these emotions longer than what is healthy for us. And so the processing of emotions in a positive way becomes extremely important, and we're going to spend a lot of time today discussing exactly how to do that. So really, how do we prevent heart disease? How do we motivate people to eat better? How do we motivate people to have a healthy lifestyle is to look at the patterns that cause depression, which is going to cause a lack of motivation, which will inspire people not to eat well. When you're not feeling good, it's really hard to plan your day. It's hard to plan your meals. It's hard to plan physical activity. It's hard to go out and do things that bring you joy. You know, a lack of motivation is what causes us to lose our focus. And as we learned in our podcast 2 weeks ago, lack of motivation is one of the signs and symptoms of depression. And so looking at the underlying causes is going to be critical. So we've got to motivate people to care about these conditions. We have to motivate people to care about their health and the health of our society as a whole. Because the health of a society is the wealth of a society. The health of a society dictates how compassionate they are. The health of a society dictates how much they believe in lack and limitation. A health of a society dictates its compassion, dictates its, you know, ability to rebound from stressors. So this is all deeply related to health, mental health, physical health, emotional health, and energetic health, as we'll talk about on the flip side of this commercial break. So you're listening to Awaken Wellness with Milen Rao, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Milen, and we're here live on Dream Vision 7 Radio. For more information, please visit our website at www.riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Riobe is spelled R-I-O-B-E. Our number here is area code 833-220-1200. That's area code 833-220-1200. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milen Riobe, MD. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask Dr. Milen the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through the doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega's Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness with Milen Rao, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Milen. Today we're discussing heart disease, $500 billion a year, and still no solutions. Why and what you can do to protect yourself and your family. So in our last segment, we talked a little bit about what I believe are the real causes of cardiovascular disease. Again, not that physical inactivity and poor diet are not a cause, they're just not a sufficient enough cause. I think they too have a cause, which we need to further investigate. And I believe the common cause of all disease is going to be stress. Stress in the form of emotional stress, probably more than anything else, because it's the most insidious form of stress that there is. We can all kind of tell that we're under physical stress when we are. So we can tell when we've woken up from lack of sleep or, you know, being sick, we don't feel good. So we immediately note that as a stress. Emotions are different. They are not a physical thing that you can kind of identify, so to speak. So they're kind of in the background. They're more in the subconscious mind. And not in the conscious mind. So when you wake up tired because you only got 3 or 4 hours of sleep because you were sick or perhaps you had a child who was sick and kept you up, you can immediately feel that, you know, there's a immediate, you know, cause and effect there. But when you're holding on to emotions that are not healthy, it's not always immediate because it's more subconscious. It's more in the background part of our minds. And not in the forefront. And so this is where we really need to start our focus if we really want to get to not just heart disease, but all disease. Even cancer, depression, as we talked about in our last show, all of these things have the imbalance of emotion as their true root causes. And even that has a cause, of course. And so, you know, the imbalance of emotions comes from, in my opinion, a lack of faith, a lack of faith in something bigger than ourselves, and a lack of knowing that we are part of that something bigger. So it's not that there's something bigger outside of us that we have to go find. We're already a part of it, so we just have to develop an awareness that we are a part of it. So we're individuals, but we're also one. And so gaining an understanding of that, I think, is really what will propel our society into not just better health, but better living in general, a better humanity, if you will. So, again, science is showing us this very, very clearly now. It's not in our mainstream science journals, unfortunately, but there are some really world-renowned scientists who are proving with mathematics and then, you know, proving their math later in small pieces, but nonetheless proving them, and also other physicists are coming and corroborating that we are, you know, not just individuals on an island alone trying to figure things out, but we are all connected to everyone else. So everything that we do impacts everyone else in a positive and a negative way, and then it rebounds back to us as well because we're interconnected. So we can't harm anyone without harming ourselves. We can't do good for anyone without doing good for ourselves because we are individual and part of a whole at the same time. And this really neat science is being borne out by Nassim Haramein at the Resonance Foundation in Hawaii. And it's being corroborated by other physicists as well. And, you know, Albert Einstein, his math also kind of pointed in this direction, but he didn't continue to look at it. And so other physicists kind of took over where he left off and are finding that what his math was telling him was really actually true, and that we are both limited and unlimited at the same time, and matter itself is limited and unlimited at the same time, and completely connected. So whether we're looking at energy satellites that we send up to take pictures of the universe, we see that everything is connected. If we send up optical telescopes, we see the physical structures. If we send up energy telescopes, we see how the physical structures are just really places where the energy is extremely dense, but the energy is completely connected to everything else. So this understanding is what I believe is going to propel us in a new direction, is this idea that I'm not here alone. I am part of the whole, and it's a perfect whole. It's not a flawed whole. We're the ones that give it the impression of being flawed because we get to create the experience that we're having in it. But it itself is perfect. It's our perception that's imperfect. So once we begin to understand that and change our how we are in the world, change our reactions and become more proactive with this understanding, I think is we will then make tremendous strides in humanity itself and, for the purposes of today's show, reducing the risk of death from heart attacks. So what also is a little bit concerning is that we're now understanding that heart attacks is no longer a disease of older men. We used to think, oh, we don't have to worry about heart attacks until we're over the age of 65. This is something that happens to people in the later stages, and it tends to happen to men more than women. We're beginning to see an alarming increase of heart attack deaths, not just heart attacks, but deaths from heart attacks in the age group between 44 to 65, and especially in females. So in the past 7 years, women have seen a significant increased risk of death between the ages of 44 and 65 from heart disease. Again, this is due to stress. Women are impacted by stress significantly differently than men. Because they are of blood, according to Chinese medicine. And again, what happens with heart disease is we get a stagnation of energy, which then results in a stagnation of blood. And because women are of blood, the reserve that they have tends to be less than that of men because they are impacted by stress differently. Stress impacts blood more than it impacts energy or chi. So men tend to be a little bit more resilient. Not that they don't have heart attacks. There are more men that die of heart disease than women do, but women have more fatal heart attacks, and we're starting to see that they are more fatal in earlier and earlier years. In fact, I lost a school friend of mine almost two years ago, to a heart attack. She was 48 years old and not, you know, obese. She was physically active. She was a firefighter, you know, and she ate well, lived a fairly holistic lifestyle. And so this is not a disease solely of people that are lazy and don't eat right. That thinking is extremely flawed. And it's being borne out by our studies. So this is why we're not making a dent. We're not making a dent because we're still not really drilling deeply enough into why people are less physically active and why they don't eat properly. Why there's more diabetes, why there's more high blood pressure. And again, I think we'll find that the common denominator is going to be stress. And then if we dig a little bit deeper, we'll see that it's, you know, all different types of stress. We can talk about toxins in our environment. We can talk about physical stress from lack of sleep. We can talk about stress from prescription drugs that are synthetic, that are taken for extended periods of time. So we can talk about that, and then we can talk about the kind of insidious, unseen emotional stress as well. So until we see heart disease as a disease of stress and as a disease of emotion and the improper handling of emotion, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. So what can we do in this case? You know, how do we build resiliency to stress? How do we build or how do we lessen stress as well? So building resiliency to stress takes on a lot of different faces, so to speak. So there is meditation or heart math, breathing. And again, I've talked about these in the older podcasts, so feel free to download those for more information. But meditation and heart math, breathing has been shown fairly conclusively to help build resiliency to stress. And why that is because it helps you to connect to your wholeness. So again, it kind of brings you into the subconscious realm and it where we already know that we're whole. So there's a part really deep in us where we already know the truth of everything. So we call it the soul, or we call it our intuition. We call it God sometimes, depending on our faith. So there's a part of us that already knows the truth. And when we meditate and do heart math breathing, we tend to bring ourselves back into that place. And we tend to just tap ourselves on the shoulder just a little bit and remind ourselves that, you know, we're okay no matter what's going on around us, because, you know, there's that truth that we are individuals, but we are also part of a whole, a perfect whole. And this is why these are so critical. And we can also see structural brain changes in meditators. So we can do an MRI of the brain, or what's called a functional MRI of the brain, before someone starts to meditate, even if someone's never meditated before. So this study was done at Harvard. They took novice meditators, and they did a functional MRI of their brains just to look at the structure and the activity there. And then they taught them to meditate for about 20 minutes a day, and then I believe it was 2 months later, they did another MRI. And they saw structural brain changes, and those people reported an overall sense of well-being, improvement of their overall sense of well-being over that two-month period. Now, the thing about this practice is you can't stop it. So as soon as you stop it, if you stop it extensively, you'll revert back to where you began. So this is a practice. It's a daily practice. It's something that we just have to commit to doing, so that we are constantly putting up our quote-unquote defenses, our shields to protect us from stress. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be immune to stress and that no matter what happens to us, you know, we're just going to sail through. It just means that we'll be more balanced in the way that we handle it, we'll be more balanced in the way that we resolve it, and we'll recover faster and be less impacted in the way of diseases, whether they be mental diseases or physical diseases. And so these two things are at the top of anyone's list, meditation and heart math breathing. Heart math is just a quick 3-minute breathing exercise, which is really fascinating that it works as well as it does. But again, I think once we tap into that place within us, it doesn't matter if it took us a second or 30 minutes, we've tapped in. I think that's really what's key. And the more we tap in, the more we're reminded that there is a truth that we're not able to see with our five senses that does in fact exist, and that science is beginning to show us what ancient traditions have tried to tell us for thousands of years. And so that's the first step in building stress resiliency, is learning how to breathe. The second step is, if you are depressed and if there is a lack of motivation, looking at that more deeply. So that may involve a mental health practitioner, may involve a board-certified integrative medical doctor to help you physiologically work through that, a mental health practitioner, someone to talk to, someone to air out things, who is a trusted, objective person that will not, you know, judge you or tell anyone, frankly. So a mental health professional is good just to kind of get things out sometimes. And then they can give you different practices and things to do to help with that. emotionally as well. And there's all kinds of cognitive behavioral therapies and different things that can be done in the way of mental health. Again, it's a matter of committing to it. And so the other thing I think that's extremely important when someone is experiencing a lack of motivation to take care of themselves is to be in constant contact with someone that you trust who will continually motivate you, because sometimes you can't motivate yourself in the first few stages. And that's part of the reason we developed our concierge program at the Rio Bay Institute of Integrative Medicine, is to provide that support. It became very obvious that without the assistance of getting out of your own way in the beginning of a program like this, it's that much harder to progress. And so having someone that you can text, call, message, goes a long way to keep you moving just step by step. We've seen this quite a bit. We've had some patients come in, they'd never exercised since they were, you know, teenagers, and they just ate whatever they felt like eating, which was usually, you know, pizzas and hamburgers and cake and things of that nature. And we were able to dramatically reverse their lifestyles in 3 months or less, simply because they could reach out. You know, when they were struggling and had a question, there was an immediate response and an immediate encouragement, and that there was an accountability for them. It was almost as though they didn't want to let us down, you know, more so than they didn't want to let themselves down at the very beginning. And so we see people change completely their behaviors when they're able to reach out and get help. It's like, you know, throwing them a life preserver if they're drowning. You know, and after a while, what we begin to see is that they begin to switch to wanting to do better for themselves, and not so much, you know, the fear of letting us down or having the, you know, your accountability coach tell you that you didn't do something right, so to speak. So we saw that they began to want to do it for themselves, and then they began to want to do it for their family members, whether it was their children, their grandchildren, their spouse, whatever the case. And so it's kind of this bridge. So the accountability and the support is critically important. Just sending someone home with a plan that they can't execute because they're not motivated to execute it clearly isn't going to work. So that's the second stage, I believe, in really getting people to be motivated to want to change their own behavior for the better. And it's not that they don't want to change their behavior, it's that they're unmotivated to do so. They literally don't have the mental, emotional, and physical strength to take the steps that they know are necessary. And sometimes they don't know what those steps are. So again, having the accountability, the coaching, we have seen a dramatic improvement in our patient outcomes from giving that support to people. So that's number two, I believe, in building stress resiliency is just having that support. Number three is then actually doing the things that build stress resiliency in addition to the meditation and the heart math breathing. Things like making sure you drink enough water in the day, just basic things, making sure you get enough sleep, making sure that you do go out, even if it's for a walk in the beginning. Or a bike ride, something. Get yourself outdoors. Get yourself in nature. Nature has been shown to be probably one of the most effective treatments for depression, anxiety, and stress. Just being in nature, just observing nature itself, looking at flowers, looking at the sky and the cloud formations, and looking at birds and all the different patterns that they have, you know, even the different ducks on the ponds and things like that. Just getting out there. You know, if you're living in a city, go to a park or buy a plant, you know, and just kind of watch it. Or, you know, you don't even have to really go out per se. You know, you can just watch a video as well. It's not the same, but it at least gives you a bit of an escape in your mind. So just watching a really cool nature video sometimes is good if you can't get outdoors. But just taking a walk, a hike, even if it's brief, walking a dog, something of that nature, that's a third pattern. So drinking lots of water, and the water recommendations have gone up. According to a recent study, it's now recommended that men drink 3.7 liters of water. That's 15 and a half cups, which is significantly higher than previous recommendations. Women, it's 11 and a half cups or 2.7 liters of water daily. And again, we did talk about water in a couple of our last podcasts. And the type of water that you drink is critically important. At bare minimum, it should be spring water. If you can get ionized water, that's even more healthy. And sleep, 8 hours minimum for women, 7 hours minimum for men. And then we have getting out into nature. So at least 30 minutes a day is what I would recommend for this. So on the flip side of this commercial break, we'll keep talking about stress resiliency and reduction of stress as our path out of the increased risk of death from heart disease. Again, our number here is area code 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. You're listening to Awakened Wellness with Milan Rhea Bandy right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio. We'll be right back.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Milan Riobe, MD. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask Dr. Milan the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Milan is the medical director of the Riobe Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With more than 40 years at the forefront of holistic studies, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for integrated approaches to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Are you a game changer? Do you care about creating a vibrant future for humanity planet? If you care, you'll choose to engage in strategic action in order to transform the realities of today for generating a thriving planet. Find out how you can do this. Read the award-winning book, Radical Transformational Leadership, by Dr. Monica Sharma. This book is a systemic exploration of how to work with and transform the interlocking circumstances contributing to the complex problems we're facing. There's a chance of achieving a world that manifests peace, equity, and well-being for everyone. And this work offers the readers the creative ways and means of contributing to such a world-changing agenda.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Energy flows all around and within our bodies. It's the life force that nourishes, heals, and keeps us going. So how do we replenish and improve our life force? This is what Energy Medicine Weekend is all about. Explore the life-enhancing powers of energy medicine with leaders in the field, including Donna Eden, David Feinstein, and Sue Mortar. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Energy Medicine Weekend at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 4th to 6th. Learn more at eomega.org.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Awakened Wellness with Milan Riobe, MD. I'm your host, Dr. Milan, and today we're discussing heart disease. $500 billion a year and still no solutions. Why? And what you can do about it. So I have patients ask me all the time, like, how do I get started doing this? You know, my life is so chaotic. I've got so much going on. And, you know, the answer is it's because your life is so chaotic that you're here. So we need to find a way to make your life less chaotic.
And hey, really, Lynn, I'm so sorry to disturb you. You have a caller from the Boston area.
Oh, wonderful. Hello.
Hello, Dr. Malin. It's Deborah. I want to thank you so much for your in-depth information around the heart and tying it with emotions as well, because once you become conscious, as you know, you realize that a lot of what you may be holding in your thoughts and in your body is creating the health issues that we have. One of the questions that I had for you was that you mentioned that about support for stress and that you offer a program at the Ryobi Institute there. How does one get in touch with you, or is this program online for those that can call and sign up? Because I think at the beginning, the meditation and going within is so key, and the breathing, mm-hmm. but that support is also key, as you mentioned.
Right. No, definitely. Thank you so much for that question. Yes, we do have concierge programs. We have stress resiliency programs. They're not currently online, so they are just personally done at the office. They can be done long distance. We always prefer to be able to evaluate a client at the very beginning, so a trip down to Florida for the preliminary evaluation would be ideal. It's not absolutely necessary, but it helps us to learn a lot more about someone. Right. And then the rest of it can be done remotely, whether it be by phone, by Skype. So we do have quite a few programs, and they're tailored to the individual, so it depends on their lifestyle, you know, their concerns, their particular health condition. So we have a preliminary evaluation that looks completely at all of that, and then we design a program for our clients, whether it be a package that we already have in place or something custom, and then we launch it from there. And it's typically an annual program, and it just renews year by year.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like that. So, I mean, someone from North or another state could actually combine a vacation in Florida and do the initial visit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a couple of concierge clients from Boston, and they fly in. You know, they happen to have a home here as well, so it's much easier when you have a home here. But we could just, you know, have people fly in to do the preliminary evaluation. And then everything is shipped. We ship out any test kits that you would need. When we meet together, we have a patient portal, so we meet on the portal, and we go through all of the test results, and you're able to see your results on the screen. Any supplements we prescribe, nutrition recommendations, et cetera, are all on the portal, and then they have immediate access to not just me, but to my registered dietitian, which is critical. So they have text access to both of us. So if there's a diet question, we prescribe very specific diet recommendations in terms of the temperature of the food you should be eating, certain things you should eliminate, certain things you should add, how much protein, how much fat, how many carbs should you have in a day, and what types. And so people need a lot of coaching and just support. So our registered dietitian is trained in our Chinese medicine nutrition, so that she's there, you know, guiding people every day. And it's nothing far out. You know, people can do it. It's just that when you haven't been doing it all along, you just kind of need that coach to keep you going, because people have questions, and if they don't have that immediate support, the questions go unanswered, and that doesn't do very much for motivation. People get unmotivated when they have this complex thing that they're looking at, and they don't know how to unfold it.
Right. And the human psyche, I think, really, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are lonely or feel alone, and I believe that we all yearn for that connection, so that coaching, if you have an issue, as you've talked throughout the show, it's good to have that support, and you're doing a good job, and all those things that we all need and yearn for. So I thank you so much. So do give out all your information again, and thank you for all your good work in enlightening people on how to be healthy.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Absolutely. I will do that. Our office number is area code 561-244-5880. That's 561-244-5880. Our email is info, at riobayintegrativemedicine.com. And again, Riobay is spelled R-I-O-B as in boy, E as in Edward. We'd be happy to answer any questions and provide as much support as we possibly can. So thank you so much for that question and those comments.
Thank you. Okay, bye for now.
Bye. Yeah, so wonderful question. Thank you so much, Deborah, for that. Just to tie up our show today, you know, we are already supported deep within ourselves. It's just that we need to kind of unearth it from all of the baggage that we've poured over it, so to speak. So having that support to help people just safely get rid of the layers that have been just sitting on top of the truth of who and what they are is, I think, what any healthcare practitioner, whether it be mental health, nutritionist, anyone, can help people do. So I think the more that we all look into the truth, which is that we are individuals and part of a whole, and that whole is not a scary place. It's a perfect place. We, with our human mind, make it scary because we also create it. So we are the creators of our perception of the universe. And sometimes that perception can be a little bit scary, and that's what leads to the lack of motivation, the emotions sticking, and eventually the obesity or the poor diet, and eventually the disease, whether it be a heart attack or cancer. So thank you so much for listening today. As always, we never have enough time to really go through everything. It's such a deep topic. But I look forward to some more podcasts with you, and we'll continue to talk about what matters most to you. So thank you for listening to Awaken Wellness with Milen Rayobam D, live right here on Dream Vision 7 Radio, partner of the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. We're live here every first and third Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. with our pre-recorded shows on the second and fourth Tuesday mornings, also at 11. You can listen to our pre-recorded shows at 11 p.m. On all Tuesdays as well. And you can download our shows at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, many, many blessings. Thanks for listening.
Join us next time on Awakened Wellness with Milen Rayobay, MD, to learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness. Awakened Wellness airs every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, with live shows on the first and third Tuesday mornings of each month. Meanwhile, you can join our Facebook page at facebook.com/awakenedwellness8 and let us know what you'd like to discuss on future episodes. Dr. Milen is the medical director of the Riobay Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobayintegrativemedicine.com. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.